Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, people, for you people that did hold on, I want to thank you so much. People that didn't tune in, we had this, a great, great fire breathing pastor, Pastor Everett Ramsey, who's on. He's written the book that he gives away for free. I think the only padlocked church in America, they padlocked his church. They threw him in jail because he would not bow with the feet of Baal. He would not worship the almighty Sodom of the Potomac government in Washington, D.C. He's going to come back on. He's already agreed to come back on 2 weeks from today. But now we're getting ready to transition. This is the League of the South. And before I go to these guys, I'm going to go on a kind of a little rant, a kind of a hellfire rant myself. But we have Dr. Michael Hill coming on. He's the founder and the director of the League of the South. And we have his chief operating officer, Ike Baker, a hell-breathing Marine, buddy. We got them coming on. But I'd like to make a comment here about what he said. Man, I just got really wound up. You know, we've never said a word about this stinking coronavirus on this show. And I'll tell you, and I did it intentionally. I left it out. But I'm going to say one thing tonight. I got this little paper from Pastor Thomas Robb and his great son, Jason Robb. But I'm just going to read one excerpt out of this paper. Here's what it says. It goes down here. It says that the prestigious Imperial College of London tells us that the new coronavirus is far less deadly than the seasonal flu to anyone under 60 years old. Consider the website for the Center of Disease Control here in the United States. Influenza has resulted in between 9 million and 45 million illnesses, between 140,000 and 810,000 hospitalizations, and between 12,000 and 61,000 deaths annually since 2010. That's the flu. That's all these other flus. That's not this bat suit fever. In comparison, those who have died from the coronavirus is only a fraction of those who die from the flu every year without a single disturbance in the economy. Now, with that addressing, I'm going to also just reference what the pastor said, and I had no idea that Bill Gates owned the patent to this coronavirus thing that's going around right now. And also, like I told our mayor in Memphis, I hope he's listening, I'm going to call this dude down. And it has to do with the coronavirus. Mayor out there that you're listening, you do, Mayor Strickland, you piece of crap. I told you I was going to do this. You didn't have enough guts to come on the show and talk to us on the show. But I'm going to tell you what you are. You are a ghoul. You are a grave robber. You're a liar. And you're a thief. And you're a culture destroyer. Destruction. You destroy white culture. That's all you do. That's all you want to do. You've gone down and you've tore down the statue of General Nathan Bedford Forrest, a man you couldn't carry his dirty underwear. You really couldn't. You couldn't carry his dirty socks. You know what? You couldn't even be a private in his army. And I'm gonna tell you something else. You put yourself. I'm really round up people. I have to calm down. You purport to be some kind of a medical authority here in Memphis, and you shut all these small businesses down in here in Memphis, little mom and pop organizations. Like you got this satanic Bass Pro open down here, business as usual, because they're greasing your palm. They're paying you off like they are paying all these other low down piece of crap city councilman members we have here. You know, I just can't tell you how I despise you. I despise you as much as I did that congressman we went to the office of. What's his name? By David Kustoff. I'll probably catch hell for that too, but that's about it. And I'll tell you what, that pastor nailed it. He nailed it. 90% of these other pastors around here in the United States are just worthless, Baal-worshipping, money-taking whores of the Bible. They wouldn't handle the Bible if it bit them in the butt. Now I'm going to get my two guests on. How are you doing tonight, Dr. Hill?
I'm doing fine, Eddie Miller. Good to be on your show again.
I'm glad to have you on. I didn't mean to go off like that. I'm just really pissed off tonight, I'm telling you. I've got to hold it. I want y'all to kind of keep me in line because I don't want to get us kicked off the show. I promise, Sam. I like to also.
Sir.
Yes, sir. And also, we got the Hellfire Marine on, too. How are you doing tonight, Ike?
I'm fantastic. It's springtime in the Appalachians. I worked on my small holding all day today.
Well, I'll tell you what, you didn't have time to get all fired up. I'm always trying to rush my blood pressure and stuff, you know. But it's just hard to do in these days and times. But I'm going to shut my mouth right now. Well, I'm going to say one more thing. Like I told this the mayor and some of my other friends have said, I kind of go overboard sometimes. And I guess I do. I got to go back. Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me a good high-paying job with the government. That's exactly what he said, I think, Patrick Henry, also Samuel Adams. But anyway, so I guess that's what it should be doing. Anyway, guys, after I got my rant out of the way, what are we going to be talking about tonight, Dr. Hill?
I just think we ought to talk about how an independent South might be governed. You know, I think it's good to look ahead and give people some kind of idea about what the league has in mind. I mean, we've been around for a little more than a quarter century, and, you know, one of the things that we've been pushing that whole time is a free and independent South. And I think from time to time you just need to go back to fundamentals and discuss a little bit about what that might look like, you know, and how it might be different from the empire that we live under today, this multicultural, multiracial, multilingual cesspool, hellhole, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, we have some ideas that probably people would enjoy hearing about. And I think they're the kinds of things that during a time like this where you have this crisis, whether it's artificial or not, you know, that's debatable. But, you know, to look forward to a golden age that we could have in the South.
I agree.
Amen.
Wholeheartedly, sir. You know, a couple of last month we took a good look back at some key events, and looking forward is really we always need to be oriented looking forward. And you know, speaking about how we would see a free and independent Southland governed, you know, we've always talked about desiring an ethno-state. We've never made a secret of that. An ethno-state is just another way of saying a blood and soil nation. A blood and soil nation can be governed in ways that a polyglot empire, which is what the USA has become long ago, a blood and soil nation can be governed in ways that a polyglot empire can never be governed. Frankly, we have close associates, Dr. Hill, who believe a monarchy would be the best way, and a monarchy probably has a lot to be said for it. But the problem with a monarchy is it's hereditary, and we have no royal bloodline that exists, to my knowledge, anywhere in the Southland. We probably have descendants of kings, but the hereditary nature of that, we probably couldn't depend on always having a benevolent monarch. So the way I think a blood and soil nation is best governed is by a form of government. I'm only going to use this term one time because it is national socialism, but we must divorce that from the popular bias about the Third Reich. Let's forget about Colonel Klink and Heinrich Himmler and Erwin Rommel. Let's forget the history that happened in the 30s and 40s, and let's look at national socialism. But from this point forward, let's call it the Southern Benevolent Party.
Mike, we got to go to a quick break. I don't know if you hear the music or not, but we'll be right back. Folks, we got Dr. Michael Hill, the leader of the League of the South, and we got the chief operating officer, Ike Baker, on. And we'll be right back.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org. Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, dear people, Blood River Radio family, thank you for holding on. Thank you for tolerating my rant. I'm going to explain in a minute, just 1 second, and then I'm going to get off of it and tell you why I'm so fired up. You know, it's not good enough that our stinking mayor and the city council defied the law here in Tennessee, and they went and they destroyed the statue that the people, after the end of the Civil War, people, they were broke and destitute in the South, but they gave pennies so this great statue could be built over the great Nathan Bedford Forrest. He's actually buried there with his wife. His son's buried there. They weren't good enough or satisfied to haul that away. They got these ugly orange cones out there with a big fence around it. It looks ugly as hell. And they weren't satisfied to destroy a park here in Memphis that dedicated to Jefferson Davis Jr., an equally great statue there. They had to dig a hole 4 feet deep and let it get full of water. Later on, they filled it up with concrete, and they got some kind of a hippie, homosexual-looking bar down there. The people are drinking, you know, in their little tea and crap like that over where that statue used to be. But people, Dr. Hill and Ike, it's just so they just take it and they, you know, these our enemies that destroy our culture, and they're rubbing our nose in it. And with that, I'm going to shut up. I want y'all to know that's why I was so fired up. And the stinking mayor we have, he's going to shut the whole city down in the name of this Caboni virus. And he's, you know what? People are out of work here in Memphis, people I know, and he's not. The stinking mayor and the stinking government and the stinking black city council, they're not doing away with their paychecks. They're the most unvital people of all. And with that, I'm going to shut up. And Ike, I think you were talking when we went to the break, and I apologize for my rant, but it just got me so riled up. Back to you, Ike.
Well, as I say, it's my belief that the best way to govern a blood and soil nation is with that form of government, because every single aspect of the power of the state, every lever of power, every lever of authority is exerted for the good of the people. It's a people's community. It's a form of government that's actually a big loving family raised to the level of government. Dr. Hill, you and I have actually discussed this at length.
Yeah, we have. You know, the ideas, and you know, I like the points that you made about looking forward. I mean, you always look backwards to in history to see the things basically that haven't worked, so you won't repeat the mistakes. But sometimes you look back and you do see things that have worked and could be applicable to the present and to the future. And, you know, I think that what we had in the South, the antebellum South up through the end of the war when it was destroyed, at least temporarily, was the foundations of a great blood and soil nation because, you know, the South at that time was white man's land, as it was once called, and I like to call it that, and I like to say that that's, our goal is to reestablish the South as white man's land. But if you do that, you have to basically have the type of government that would be suitable for a blood and soil people, as you pointed out, for a large extended family. And, mm-hmm. you know, while we don't want to go back and recreate anything from, the 1850s or the 1930s, because those are unique historical periods, mm-hmm. obviously there are things that we can take from the governance that we saw in those two eras that were governing a people in a particular place, a blood and soil nation.
Yes, sir.
And any type of government that you have, a democracy, for example, in which you basically have king numbers, as the great John Randolph called it back in the late 18th century, then when king numbers rules you, you know, what it is, it's a racial headcount or an ethnic headcount or whatever, and America being what it is today, a multicultural empire in which whites are probably, if things continue, going to be outnumbered, even in the South, by 2040 or 2050. Democracy is a suicide pact for white people to embrace. So if we are going to save ourselves and we're going to return to a type of government that actually is beneficial for us and our people, it has to be something other than democracy. It has to be something other probably than a democratic republic because, you know, that's ostensibly what we have right now, and it ain't working out too well for white folks. So we need to go back and examine types of government in the past that have been implemented particularly for that kind of situation, and I think that you know, idea of Southern Benevolence Party is a very good way to put that, because that's what we're looking for our people, something, a government that will be out of, from the people, the Southern people, will be made up of the Southern people and will act according to the interest of the Southern people and not the interest of some of themselves or some other group. They can pay them a whole lot of money and lobby them, you know, like, well, for example, AIPAC does today, the American-Israeli Political Action Committee, which has Congress by the nose. You know, we need something that is going to be a government truly, truly, that serves our people. And there's only one way to do that, sir, and that is to have the situation as you just described it earlier.
A benevolent form of government where nothing that exists within the state, and I just use the state as a loose term for the Southland, the free and independent Southland, not individual states as we think of them. Everything that exists within the state is for the benefit of the people. Industry is not permitted to late-stage capitalism has failed us. We can see that. We can see that as plain as the noses on our face before the last couple of months' activities, events started occurring. Industry is not allowed to profit at the expense of the welfare of the people. Yes, there is free enterprise. It's not completely nationalized, completely collectivized. But if we look back, and we can look back, even though we don't want to recreate something from across the Atlantic Ocean from 80 years ago necessarily, we can look at things that they did. They actually manipulated the economy to the benefit of the people. Well, our economy here in the empire gets manipulated, not to our benefit, to the benefit of corporations,
course.
to the benefit of our only democratic ally in the Middle East. Who could I mean?
I wonder who you could mean.
You know, there were tremendous infrastructure projects which we're in sore need of. You know, the bridges, the highways are falling down in the Southland, just like the rest of the empire. So the idea that we could have an economic miracle, well, there was an economic miracle created by this form of government all those, you know, a couple of generations ago. It can be done here because it can be translated to a blood and soil nation anywhere. As I said, that that baggage that the Third Reich carries just has to be completely be divorced away from this, because it's nationalism, which is what we're all about, and it's socialism, which is not a bad word, because socialism coupled with nationalism is to my mind, short of a monarchy, it's the best way to govern a blood and soil nation. And it's probably in this day and age better than a monarchy, because the royal bloodlines are long gone. Who do we arbitrarily pick to start the dynasty? I've given this a serious amount of thought, and there's a 25-point program that exists. It can be easily found. Here's just an example. No one who's not a citizen and in a blood and soil nation, you know who the citizens are?
Absolutely, white people.
Right. No one can, for instance, work at a newspaper. There can be no foreign press. And the foreign press, I don't mean the French newspapers, the English newspapers, the German newspapers. I mean the press that publishes every day in this country, the New York Times, the Washington Post. This is foreign press. We know who controls that media, and
sure,
it's not
absolutely.
Us. So,
that's right.
You know, that was a key plank in that platform. The duty of individuals to the state. In a blood and soil nation, you serve the loving family because you're part of the loving family. Someone asked me, it's been a couple of years ago, I think it might have been at a conference in Alabama a couple of years ago, what I meant by this, and here was my example. I'll go and get $1,000 out of the bank and send it to a stranger in Louisiana who looks like me and shares my blood because it's a big loving
family. Uh-oh, Ike, we have to go to a break, pal. I'm sorry to have to interrupt. We have the music coming. We've got to go to another break. We'll be right back, people. Hang on to your seats.
Listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Grocery stores across the country are preparing for a possible meat shortage after a bunch of coronavirus outbreaks shut down multiple meat processing plants across the country. Many grocery store chains are adding purchase limits on ground beef and fresh pork in some stores. A lot was made regarding President Trump signing an executive order to keep meat processing plants open. Even some misinformation out there, including that workers had to show up for work. Nebraska Republican Governor Pete Ricketts sets the record straight.
Well, of course, nobody's going to be able to force them to go back in. I think part of what we've been working on these last several weeks with the facilities is to be able to put up things like plexiglass between workstations, be able to separate out so people can eat, you know, separated by plastic at lunch.
No public events scheduled for President Trump as he's spending his weekend at Camp David. This is USA Radio News.
So I don't know if you saw this, but there was just this big study about anxiety among us. Really interesting in this study about what can keep us up at night. One of the top stressors out of all the things to worry about is paying for health care. A huge majority of us say we're worried about that. It's totally understandable, but there's an affordable alternative to health insurance. It's MediShare. It's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it has worked beautifully for more than 25 years. And not only do people save lots of money, they get access to a huge network of doctors. They get to take advantage of 24/7 live access online where they can talk to a doctor and even get prescriptions. And of course, there is the savings. With MediShare, the typical family saves $500 a month. That can help you sleep easier too. There's a lot to love about it. No wonder it's grown so much. Here is the number to find out more. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
A Houston police helicopter crashed into an apartment complex early on Saturday, killing one officer and injuring another. The crash happened on the city's north side, and Houston Mayor Sylvester Turner explains what happened.
Two of our police officers that were in a helicopter that went down. One of those police officers is still in surgery right now, and unfortunately, one of them has passed.
Governor Mike DeWine is shedding light on his new coronavirus emergency shutdown orders that will gradually come to an end. The governor says the safe stay reopenings will happen per sector in phases. The Republican says he realizes some think the process is too slow, and others think things are moving too fast.
I understand that There are some of you out there who think we're not moving near fast enough. There's some of you out there who think just the opposite. He's going much too fast.
USA Radio News.
Thank you for holding on. We said before, in case you just tuned in, we have Dr. Michael Hill on. He's the director of the League of the South. We have his chief of operations officer on, Ike Baker. And I believe Ike Baker was speaking right before we went to the break. So back to you, Ike.
Well, I'd actually been going from memory the 25 points in the platform of what I consider to be the template for what we could make work. And it the way I see it, it just involves resetting quite a few things, because something I have said for quite some time, Dr. Hill was just referring to it a few minutes ago, and I've said this when I've had the opportunity to speak to folks before at our various gatherings. What we need is a government that's devised by us for the benefit of the Southern people and the well-being of the Southern people. It needs to be a highly militant, exclusionary, and very technocratic meritocracy built around the ideas of radical traditionalism, based on nothing more important than the preservation of our kind and our culture, to the detriment of the others, if necessary, something that places our people first. That's, to me, the Southern Benevolent Party, we could easily call it, would allow a blood and soil nation to be governed by our own people for the benefit of our people. If I can paraphrase that clothing line that the Negroes used to have, FUBU, this would be for us, by us.
Absolutely, I concur, because that is the only kind of government that we're ever going to get that is going to put the interests of white people first, because we have a government today that for the last 100 years, think about that, the last century, since the end of World War One, a government here that has been increasingly dominated, and I'll say it plain as day, by Jews. And largely by communistic / socialistic, and that's the bad kind of socialism, the international Jew kind, but also capitalism, too. I mean, you know, people tend to think of those two as opposites, but that's part of the Jew trick. It's the dialectic. It's the Marxian dialectical process. You know, you pit something supposedly the opposite of socialism or communism, which is, in the minds of most people, capitalism, and, you know, you say, well, there are two opposites that oppose, you know, that are fighting with each other, when in fact they're both Jew creations. Vulture capitalism is what I call it. And we've got to get rid of communism / socialism on the left, and we got to get rid of wherever it stands on the political spectrum, this vulture crony capitalism on the other end of this false spectrum. And by doing that, you're going to be doing, first and foremost, I think, you're going to be getting rid of the parasites in your economy that suck the life out of a working-class family. And you're also going to get rid of the international banks. Mm-hmm. I think that is absolutely crucial to the future of the South. And that's one of the reasons that Germany in the 1930s was so prosperous, while the rest of the world was falling into the abyss that was called the Great Depression. The German people were on a trajectory in the opposite direction, going upwards. And the reason for that is, in part, that it got rid of the usury and the other depredations that central banking like that creates in your economy. And that, I think that was one of the big secrets. It's not so much a secret, really, if you're willing to look at the truth, but that's one of the things that we have to do here, is to get rid of the power of international bankers over the South. And once we do that, we can get control of our economy and actually direct it ourselves toward the benefit of our people, the people who actually are here to work and to prosper within this kind of economy and within this political system. You're right, Ike. If you don't have a political system that puts the interest of our people, whites, Southerners, first, then we are always going to be at the bottom of the damn totem pole, because you know how whites are seen today in the world. We are the only group the only group, even in our own Southland here, who can be criticized, who can be degraded, who can be acted against economically and politically in ways that, that you would not see any other group subjected to. And one of the reasons is, very simple, we do not control our political institutions. We don't control our economic and social institutions and cultural institutions. The only way to do that is to have a government that we devise and that we run ourselves for our own benefit. And you're right. It should be, you know, for us and by us. And I'll also include a Gaelic a phrase in here, Sinn Féin. You know, it's going to be up to us, ourselves alone, exactly, to make sure that this happens.
I like that.
And it must happen. It must happen if we're going to survive. And I don't have a better plan than the one that we've been talking about, because it is the one that stems organically from the people. I've written articles, and I've in the past called it organic nationalism. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've got to have.
This is the third position, is what this is. That's a term I've heard it called by one of our. I was having a conversation with one of our members, Dr. Hill. I think it was just yesterday, and I was asked, "What is the third position?" Well, this is the third position. What we're talking about right now. This is neither Republican nor Democrat. This is neither right nor left. Now, if
no,
we're going to use
not.
That,
it's neither capitalist nor socialist communist either.
That's right. Now, if we're going to apply that standard to it, obviously Marxism is leftist, and this probably goes into the area of fascism, so this probably on that spectrum would be on the right, but this is not right versus left. This is
not
the third position. And,
that's,
you know,
right.
We talk about what late-stage capitalism is doing to our people. Late-stage capitalism is actually mercantilism, is all it is. And mercantilism is very Semitic. It's very Semitic.
You better believe it is.
We have to take back our currency. The central banks have to go, which is the Fed has to go. We have to promote this third position. And something, Eddie, you may remember this. We discussed this when Pastor Rob was on the air probably a year ago. I had the privilege of sharing some airtime with him. Fine man. We need to take back our financial sector, our academic sector, and our media.
Absolutely. I certainly remember that. And also, I remember you talking. I certainly do, and I also remember you talking about the economic system, the financial system, the monetary system that they had from about 1933 in Germany, owned and during the World War, and that's probably, well, there's no probably about it. I think we all agree that that's what got Germany into the on the blacklist with our international Jewish brethren, because Hitler kicked the international bankers out that you guys are talking about. He kicked out the central bank, and he based their currency on I believe you said on a man's labor.
That's right. They based it on a unit of German labor, the German worker labor. We say we're not going to call this by the name that they used, and we probably shouldn't moving forward, because I really think our people can grasp onto this. But we have to look at this. If nothing that happened from, say, 1936, 1937 onward had occurred, and we were only looking at the economic miracle that happened there, Adolf Hitler and the National German Socialist Workers' Party would go down in history as brilliant, because they brought back a country that was an absolute wreck and ruin, and they made it a preeminent economic power.
Understand this too. Time Magazine, obviously, which is no friend of ours. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Time Magazine declared Adolf Hitler to be their Man of the Year in 1936, specifically because of this economic miracle that took place. But let me bring this a little bit closer to home. I know that a lot of our listeners out there are familiar with the Nashville Agrarians. Andrew Lytle and the great Donald Davidson and that whole group of about a dozen scholars that wrote this seminal work and published it in 1932, believe it or not, called I'll Take My Stand. And it was anti-communist and anti-capitalist at the same time. And they did not use the term third position, but that is exactly what they were arguing for. And if you compare the economic solutions that these men were putting forward and look at what was going on in Germany at the same time, they are in many ways identical. And that means that there was a lot of Southerners who were watching what was happening over in Europe at this time, and they were basically saying, this is the way that it has to be, because they, even though they didn't come down specifically on the Jewish influence, we know who they were talking about when they were talking about the capitalists and the communists, for sure. So we've got this tradition in the South already that we can build on, and we don't have to go back anywhere else, because they were looking at the same things that, that were being looked at in Germany at the time as with, as something that would work for our people. And these Southern agrarians were as pro-white as you could get. I mean, when they talked about Southerners, they were talking about white folks.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Hill, we have to take, I think this is our last break. We'll be right back in just a minute, people.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
We're going right back to Dr. Hill and his Chief Operation Officer, Ike Baker. I'd like to make a comment here. You know, we've been talking about money, and we're talking about getting rid of the current Federal Reserve System, kicking the Jew bankers out. Sam runs an advertisement on our show of a group called Precious Metals, United Precious Metals Association. Has been formed and created by a friend of Sam Bushman, the guy who syndicates our show. He's a lawyer by the name of Lawrence Hilton, And he's trying to, matter of fact, Sam was telling me, this is relevant to what these guys are talking about. Sam says that he has been instrumental in getting a revelation, a legislation drafted in a number of states to kick out the international Jew bankers and to start something like a state banks that we used to talk about on the show. The state banks be founded on gold and silver. But I guess that would be better than, that would be good. But I think that the system they had in Germany, being Ike and Pastor Rob talked about, was probably the best system. Because I think, Hitler said, and rightfully so, I think I agree with him, that true wealth is man's labor. It's not really gold and silver. True wealth is not gold and silver. What about that, Dr. Hill? What do you think about that?
Yeah, true wealth is what you either grow in the earth or mine out of it, dig out of it. And then what you create out of that through the labor through the skilled labor of men and women in the workforce. So that's absolutely true. And I'd like to jump back and bring one other thing up, and then I'll turn it back over to Ike to comment on this. But I was talking about the Southern agrarians, the ones who wrote that manifesto, I'll Take My Stand. There was one gentleman there, a historian by the name of Frank Owsley, who I think taught at Auburn University, if I'm not mistaken. He said that the Southern people should be called the folk. V-O-L-K, folk.
Mm-hmm.
He said, and that's obviously a German term, meaning the people or the folk. And he used that term in a lot of his writings back in the 1930s. So this just shows you that there is a Southern connection, at least a Southern intellectual understanding of this kind of blood and soil philosophy or idea that was taking hold. And there today, I think is a reason that the left, the Jew dominated left, looks at two periods in history, and still has nightmares about them, even though both of them were defeated on the battlefield. And that is the Confederacy and Germany of the 1930s and 40s. They yes, still sir. Have nightmares about those because both of them were white man's regimes.
Yes, sir. That's absolutely correct. And, I find it very interesting that they used a term from Germany. There's a term that I use actually quite often. I kind of left it alone this evening, but I use the term Volksgemeinschaft very often, which strictly translated means people's community. Because
absolutely.
That's the nucleus of a blood and soil nation, the people's community. As I was saying before we went to the post the time before last, what constitutes a blood and soil nation? And I was asked at the conference in Alabama a couple of years ago, and the best example I could come up with is this. A man several states away from me, deep south, I'm in the inland mountain south, I'm almost on the frontier of the Southland, but a man in the deep south, pick Louisiana as an example. If he's in distress and his family's hurting and I can go to the bank and wire him $1,000 in a blood and soil nation, I will do that. And even if I never meet him, I'll do that because he's part of my family. He's part of the people's sure. community. He's part of the Volksgemeinschaft. And, something that we've kind of touched on, speaking about mercantilism and late-stage capitalism, we see folks distressed over the stock market. And whenever I think of the words stock market, I see the three brackets on each end because the stock market is just...
yes, sir.
The stock market is not the economy. The stock market is how they, triple brackets, extract wealth from the productive. That's all.
That's exactly right.
And that's it. Speculative capitalism is probably the worst form of mercantilism that there is, and that is the stock market. All these things have become part and parcel of our day-to-day life. People accept them as normal. Gentlemen, they're not normal. They're not normal at all. They're malicious. They're depraved. We're being fed off of because it's been said throughout history, correct me if I'm wrong, Benjamin Franklin called them a vampire race. They cannot live amongst themselves. They need a host to feed off of. We are their host.
Yeah,
and I mean,
right.
So true.
And I don't mean host the way if I have you over for dinner, I'm your host, and we're going to sit at my table, and I'm going to carve the roast beef. I mean the host the way the tick sucks off the dog.
That's exactly right. Well, there's no mystery why Bram Stoker, when he wrote the great novel Dracula, based that on basically on the character of a Jew. the vampire is the Jew. I mean, the bloodsucker of the West. Mm-hmm. And all of this is not normal. It is absolutely abnormal in a healthy economy. You don't have these bloodsuckers that run their damn casino, and that's what Wall Street is a casino. Mm-hmm. And it you know, you have about as much chance of winning on there as you do when you go to a casino in Las Vegas, which is another Jew-dominated place I'd like to keep Southerners away from, because you're not going to win any money there. You're going to end up poor for having gone and played their game, and you're going to do the same when you play the damn stock market on Wall Street.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. But
let me ask you guys a quick question. You know, and I guess this is anecdotal. I live here in Memphis, and we call it Memphrica for a real good reason. But however, the Browns, the Hispanics, and the Indians are starting, I believe, probably outnumber the Blacks. And we'll make this quick. Memphis is booming. I mean, it's booming like you would not believe in this, almost like a depression. They're using all this funny money that's being printed up. But I'm having in mind one almost skyscraper is probably going to be an apartment building. It's 10 or 12, maybe even 14 stories high. It's a gigantic building. And I mean, it's just literally swarming. There's like roaches. There's nary a white person construction worker to be seen. Back in my day, my dad was a construction worker, and just all the construction workers were, most of them were white. And you had your Negro laborers. You had a few of them were skilled, but mostly they were good, hardworking white men supporting a family. Well, you can't see that anywhere in Memphis anywhere. You show me a construction site, and you'll see these Browns, mostly these Mexicans. My question is, guys, what are we going to do when we get our independence? And I, Lord God, I think we will someday. What are we going to do about these people? Because we can't, if we get them into the voting system, we can't vote our way out of this mess, and we sure as hell can't talk our way out. How are we going to? And it's probably, maybe we need another show to do that. But is there a quick answer for that?
I'll tackle that if you don't mind, Dr. Hill.
Yeah, go ahead.
Only citizens can vote, and the only citizens can be Southerners. And a Southerner is only a white man, a white person. Let me put that. I'm not going to tackle that other issue. So they will have no right to vote. They can live here as a guest if we choose to have them here.
Yeah. So that is the big qualifier there. If we choose to have them here, this is going to be our country again, because that's what it was intended to be to start with, and we have let it slip away, and we've got to get it back. And once we do, we are citizens and nobody else is.
Agreed.
If there's any voting to be done, it'll be done by us.
Why don't we define the word Southerner, let's just say arbitrarily, Dr. Hill. Let's define that word with the definition that would have been used, say, in 1854. Okay? And
yeah,
only a Southerner could be a citizen, period.
Exactly. Right. Absolutely. That's it.
You know,
and we're not going to bend that rule at all for anybody.
No. Having been born here, from emigrating somewhere else, won't cut it. If a barn cat has kittens in the oven of an abandoned wood stove down in one of my barns, those kittens are not biscuits. Okay,
right.
This is harsh. This is cold. But we either get harsh, we either get cold, and we take back our destiny, or we're going to vanish. And
well,
Southland's going to be a memory.
Yeah, it's just like old Josie Wales said in the movie, sometimes you got to get mad dog mean. And this is one of the times that white people have got to get that way, because our survival depends on it.
Absolutely, guys, because we are going, it's either do this or die. We either get our independence or die. Guys, we are just about out of time. Any closing thoughts? I guess I'll go to you first, Dr. Hill.
Oh, yeah, I want to remind everybody that we've got our national conference, of which both of you fellows will be speaking at, along with me and several others like Kevin McDonald, David Duke, and some others will be speaking. It's the 26th and 27th of June in Central Alabama. Go to our website, leagueofthesouth.com. There'll be information posted there on it soon. And we'd love to have you for that. We'll be talking about that and probably about a month from now, the first Saturday of June. But mark that on your calendar. Last weekend in June, I think it's the 26th and 27th, League of the South 2020 National Conference.
Excellent.
I'm sorry I didn't remind y'all of that earlier because I had it in my notes, but I got so carried away I didn't look at it. But thank you so much for the announcement.
We got it in.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you. Thank you, guys. I love you guys so much. You're true brothers to me. Thank you, Ike. Thank you, Dr. Hill. We'll have to get you guys back on again very soon. Good night, people. Please pray for our radio station. Pray for the survival of the South. Pray for the survival of the white people worldwide. Tune in same time next week. About the night, we're going to have to bring the girls back, Monica and Britta. We're going to continue on with our series on the Holocaust. We may wrap it up then. We'll see what they do. Good night, everybody. And thank you so much, Nicole.